I want to pick up reading. If you still have your Bibles, open up back up to Acts chapter 8. I want to read the rest of the story that Adam started for us a moment ago. He read through verse 31. I'm going to start reading in verse 32 and read down through verse 38. Here's what the Bible says. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And a eunuch asked Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. In this story, there is two men. One is a eunuch, the treasurer of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, and the other, one of the first deacons, Philip. One of the men in this story was looking for answers. He had come to Jerusalem looking for answers. He'd stayed in Jerusalem, and he didn't find the answer to what he was looking for. And now he was on his way back to Ethiopia, he was on his way home, and he was still seeking for something that was missing in his life. He probably, like most people, couldn't quite describe it, but as he looked at his life, and by the way, he was a man of great authority. He was the treasurer in a mighty kingdom. And so you could say that he had all the world had to offer. But there was something missing. There was something that was lacking in his life. He couldn't quite put his finger on it, but he went to Jerusalem thinking, maybe it's a relationship with God. I don't know if he had a Bible that included the book of Isaiah on his way to Jerusalem or not, but maybe he picked it up in Jerusalem. But on his way home, he was looking in that book, still seeking for the answers, still seeking for that thing that would bring completeness to his life, still seeking for that answer that would give him hope for tomorrow and joy for today. You have another man in that story named Philip. He was a man that had the answer. He was the man that knew what the eunuch was missing. He was a man that knew the scripture and from the Bible could tell that Ethiopian eunuch what he needed in his life. Now, I would submit to you this morning that those two men represent the two groups of people that are here this morning. There are people here today that can identify with the Ethiopian eunuch. You are looking for something in your life that would complete your life. You are looking for an answer. Yeah, you may have everything the world has to offer. And as the world looks at your life, it may say, boy, they've got everything that they need. But you know the truth. You know there's something missing, something that you don't have, something that makes your life incomplete. You don't have the joy that you should have. You don't have the hope for tomorrow that you should have. And even though you may not be able to describe it succinctly, you may not know all the answer, you are looking for something this morning, and in all probability, that's why you are here. You say, there's something, I don't know what it is, I can't describe it, but there's something in my life that I need. There's an empty spot in my life. So some of you are like, you can identify with the Ethiopian eunuch. Some of you can identify with Philip. You have the answer. You know that person that may be sitting next to you that has a need, that is missing something, you can probably tell them what it is. You have the answer. You've discovered it for yourself. You can stand this morning and testify. Yeah, everything in your life may not be perfect. Every circumstance may not be the circumstance that you have chosen. You may be going through some things today that you wish could just go away and get better. But you have a relationship with your Creator, and through all the circumstances, you can stand and say, I know my life is complete. Because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Two groups of people here today, just like there was two groups of people in that desert back in this story that we read. I want to say one thing to each group of people. And I know some of you are rubbing your hands together and say, good, the preacher's only got 2 points this morning. But before you rejoice, I want to say three things to both groups of people. So I have 5 points this morning. So just take your shoes back off, settle back. We're going to be here for our normal time. Here's three things I want to say to both groups of people. Number one, God is concerned about individuals. He is concerned about individuals. In this case, he was concerned about one man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a man that was in a great authority. He was so concerned about this one man that he sent Philip. Again, one of the 7 original deacons. But if you go back and you read earlier in chapter 8, you see that this same Philip was in the city of Samaria. And he was having a great revival. I mean, he was preaching and people were getting saved and people were getting baptized. He was casting out devils. He was healing people. There were hundreds of people in the city of Samaria that were coming to know God and coming to know Jesus because Philip was there preaching. I mean, they could look at his miracles and they could see that God was with him and that God was working through him. But God saw this one man, this Ethiopian. He wasn't in Samaria. And by the way, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't even half Jew like the Samaritans were. He was a complete Gentile. Somebody from the far reaches of the earth compared to Jerusalem and compared to Samaria. Just one man. One individual that God was so concerned about that he told Philip in the middle of this revival, in the middle of all of his preaching and all these people getting saved, he said, Philip, I want you to go out into the desert. I want you to find this one man who I love and am concerned about, and I want you to tell him about Jesus. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus came for the individual. We can go back and we can read in the Bible and we can see time after time after time that Jesus went after the individual. In John chapter 3, it was an individual named Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, it was a woman at Sychar's well. In John chapter 5, it was the impotent man, the lame man by the pool of Bethsaida. In Acts chapter 9, it was Saul. In Acts chapter 10, it was Cornelius. I know the Bible says, for God so loved the world, and he does love the world. But I want to remind you this morning that the world is made up of individuals. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But every whosoever is an individual. And I want to say to all those that are represented by the Ethiopian and all those that are represented by Philip, God still loves and cares for and is concerned about individuals, about one, this person and that person and this person and that person. And he's concerned about every single person in this room. Doesn't matter what group you're in this morning. He knows your name. You listen to me. He knows your name. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the Bible says he knows so much about us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He has less to count when it comes to me, but he knows that. Don't you think for a minute that God doesn't know what's going on in your life? I mean, sometimes we pray and we look to heaven and we say, God, don't you hear us? I've been asking you about this thing over and over and over. Don't you care? And I want you to know this morning, even though you may not get the answer to your prayer that you want, there is still a God in heaven that knows every detail of your life. Those of you that feel like you're alone and everybody else has forsaken you, and nobody knows how you feel, nobody knows what goes through your heart and your mind when you're there all by yourself. There is somebody that knows. There's somebody that never leaves you nor forsakes you. And he knows. He knows. He knows. He's got the whole world to keep his eye on, but he's got his eye on you, and he's got his eye on me. He's concerned about the individual. Number two, to both groups, I would tell you this morning, God comes to where we are as individuals. In this case, it was a deserted desert. You might ask the question, hey, this Ethiopian had just been in Jerusalem. I mean, that's where Peter and John and James and the other disciples were. Why couldn't God get this Ethiopian when he was in Jerusalem there, where the first New Testament church were there in the city of Jerusalem? Why couldn't he get the Ethiopian there? Ethiopian wasn't ready yet. Wasn't ready yet. You say, well, if Philip was having this great revival in Samaria, why didn't God just direct the path? God's sovereign God, and he is a sovereign God. Why didn't God direct the Ethiopian to come to Samaria and get in on this revival and there get saved? Because God knew it wouldn't work there. Wouldn't work there. When the Ethiopian was ready, he was searching and he'd been reading the word of God, the book of Isaiah. And when he was at that point that he needed somebody to help him understand, God came to where he was. He said, Philip, I want you to go out in the middle of the desert and I want you to find this one man and I want you to tell him about Jesus. That's what God does. That's what Jesus did. In John chapter 3 for Nicodemus, he came in the middle of the night. In John chapter 4, Jesus came to where that woman was, a well in Sychar. In John chapter 5, Jesus came to where that lame man lay, a pool on a porch at Bethsaida. In Acts chapter 9, to get Saul, he met him on the road to Damascus. In Acts chapter 10, he sent Peter to Cornelius' house. Where were you when you got saved? If you're here this morning represented by Philip, where were you when you got saved? You know what? If you think about it, God came right to where you were. Hey, I'm glad we didn't have to go looking for God when we got ready to get saved. I'm glad we didn't have to go find him. I'm glad we didn't have to go find somebody to open the Bible or a gospel tract and tell us about Jesus. No, when you got ready to be saved, God probably sent somebody into your life to tell you about Jesus. He comes to where we are. Not only geographically, but he comes to where we are in our life. I mean, the Ethiopian was a man of much authority. He had a position. He was prominent. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. The woman at the well was divorced 5 times and living with a man that wasn't her husband. The man at Bethsaida had no man to help him. He was sitting by this pool, and an angel came down and stirred up the pool sometimes, and the first one in got healed, and nobody helped him into the pool, and Jesus came exactly where he was at that point in his life to save him. Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He'd round them up, arrest them, take them from their home, burn them, kill them at the stake. Cornelius was a centurion in the Roman army. You see, it doesn't matter if you have position or not. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what kind of life you have lived. Saul, when he became Paul, he wrote in the book of Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He said, I was the worst sinner there ever was. I killed Christians, and yet Jesus came into the world to save Saul. He came into the world to save Cornelius. He came into the world to save that woman who had been divorced 5 times and was living with a man that wasn't her husband. He came into the world to save that man who thought he could get to God by being good, a Pharisee. Jesus came into the world to save men like Nicodemus. Doesn't matter I don't care what your life has been like up until this point. I don't care what kind of sin that you've committed. I don't care where you live. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care if you have a title or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We have a Savior that's concerned about the individual. And He comes to where the individual is, not only geographically, but in their life, in their circumstances. He comes to where they are. And then the third thing I want to say to both groups is He gives those individuals what they need. What they need. Now, in all five cases that I've been using for my examples this morning, they all needed one thing. They needed Jesus. They needed Jesus. Verse 35, we read it a moment ago. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. This eunuch, this one that was in charge of the treasures of Ethiopia, he preached unto him Jesus. That's what he needed. He didn't need any of the money that King Candace had. He didn't need the position that he was in. He didn't need the wealth that he probably enjoyed. What was missing in his life was not a thing. It was a person. And it was a relationship with God through that person. He needed Jesus. What did Nicodemus need? He came. He said, and he talked about, Jesus said, if you want a relationship with God, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can one that's old enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born again? And Jesus said, I'm not talking about a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. And then Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, what you need is me. You need Jesus. You need a relationship with God. In Acts chapter 4, the woman at the well needed the same thing. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saying to her, I that speak unto thee am he. And remember, she went back into town. She gathered up everybody. She said, hey, come and see somebody that told me everything I ever did. Isn't this the Messiah? She needed Jesus. John chapter 5, the impotent man, after he was healed, he went out and told the Jews that it was Jesus that made him whole. It was Jesus that made him whole. Not only physically whole, but whole in his person, in his being. He got whole because he met the Son of God as his Savior. In Acts chapter 9, remember Saul asked the question, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus answered from heaven, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Acts chapter 10, same thing. Peter went into Cornelius' house. Let me tell you what you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. The answer to all the questions was Jesus. The answer to the longing they had in their heart was Jesus. The thing that would give them joy for today and hope for tomorrow, regardless of the circumstance, is Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. You listen to me this morning? I don't know how you would describe what you're missing in your life. It's a longing. It probably takes its form in different forms and different shapes in different people's lives. They don't know what they're missing, but they're missing something. I want to tell you about somebody that can fill your every longing and keep you singing as you go. He gives us what we need. Now, quickly, I want to say one thing to all those that are represented by the Ethiopian. Those that are searching, those that are looking for an answer. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. You need Jesus. It's as simple as that. You need Jesus. He can answer the question. He can satisfy the longing. He's the one that can give you joy for today and hope for tomorrow. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch found on that road. He found Jesus. Now, you need a little bit of faith, because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But I got some good news for you. The Bible says that God deals to every man a measure of faith. So you that are here this morning seeking for answers, you that are here this morning have a longing for something you don't know what it is, faith. God deals to every man a measure of faith. Enough faith to believe this book. You see, that's what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading along in the book of Isaiah. I'm sure in Isaiah chapter 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed." He read some other verses, and he asked Philip. He says, "Is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else?" And Philip said, "No, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus." You see, the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The Ethiopian had enough faith to get into the Bible, and as he read of the Bible, God increased his faith. Let me give you a little bit more of the Bible this morning real quickly. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God proved or commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you believe that this morning? You believe it? Listen, that's what the Ethiopian said when he asked if he could be baptized. Philip said to him, "Well, do you believe?" And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe what it says in the book of Isaiah, that he came to die for my sins. I believe that he is the Savior." Would you that are here this morning that don't know Christ as your Savior, would you believe that? You say, "I don't have enough faith to believe it." Yes, you do. Because God deals to every man a measure of faith enough to believe this book. This morning, you're looking for an answer? I'll give you the answer. It's Jesus. This morning, you have a longing in your heart. There's something missing. You don't know what it is. I'll tell you what's missing. It's Jesus. This morning, you can't describe it. There's just something incomplete about your life. There seems like there's a piece of the puzzle missing. I'll give you the piece that's missing. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Exercise the faith that has been dealt to you by our Heavenly Father and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for you. Now quickly, let me say one thing to all those that are represented by Philip here this morning. You go where God sends you. You go where God... I can almost hear the conversation that went on between God and Philip. "Philip, I want you to go out into the desert, and you're going to meet a man in a chariot, and I want you to tell him about Jesus." And Philip looks back to heaven. "But God, I'm in the middle of this revival. There are hundreds of people getting saved. There are 100 people getting baptized. I'm casting out devils. I'm healing the sick. I don't want to go out into the desert. I want to stay right here where all this stuff is going on." And God said, "No, Philip. No. You listen to me. There's a man out there in the middle of the desert. He's ready to ask Jesus to be a savior, but he needs somebody to help him. You go help him." You see, God sends us sometimes places that we don't understand why he wants us to go. We can give God 100 reasons why we should stay just where we are and not go where He wants us to go. But when God says to go, we need to go. And we need to go quickly. The Bible says that Philip finally got it, that God wanted him to go, he ran and joined himself to that chariot. When God tells us to go, we need to go quickly, because there's a world that's dying and going to hell. There's a world that's on the precipice of going to that place where there is no second chance. And there are people that God will send us to if we'll go that need to hear about Jesus. And when we go, be bold. Can you imagine? I don't know what occupation Philip had, but I don't think he was a man of means. I don't think he had a position. And yet God said, hey, I want you to go up to this guy in this chariot. And Philip could tell, man, this guy must be rich. Look at him. He's got all these servants around him. He's got this fancy chariot, all these horses. And he must be somebody in authority. He must be somebody that has position. And here, can you get it? Philip runs up to the chariot. He hears this guy reading Isaiah. You understand what you're reading? It's like calling the guy dumb. Huh? You must not understand it, because God sent me to help you understand it. Do you understand what you're reading? And to Philip's surprise, the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I? How can I unless some man guide me? Now you listen to me. There are people that are this close to asking Jesus to be their Savior. This close. And all they need to close the gap is somebody to come and guide them to the Savior. God will send us to those people if we'll listen. God will send us to those people if we'll go. So if He sends, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. You're here today and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If I was you and I wasn't saved, the moment I start to pray, I would get up out of my seat and I'd be the first one down here. That when I say amen, you say, preacher, I need to get saved. I'll have one of our folks take their Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you come this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this wonderful story about...